So you guys got your Bibles, turn to Exodus 20. We're going to look at one verse, verse 12 of Exodus chapter 20, and talk about this. So I'm not sure if there is a harder commandment than this one. When you consider everything about our world, especially parents, how many of you online in here are parents? Okay? Listen, one thing we can all agree on, that being a parent is incredibly hard, yes or no? And irregardless of what people say when they write books about parenting, they don't know your child. And they don't know your circumstances. They don't know the childhood you came from. So when you talk about honor your father and mother, there are people online in here that's going to be really easy for. Talk to my buddy today. He said, "Cord, I'm really fortunate. I had two really good parents who loved me, loved the Lord, never harmed me. It's easy for him." I know lots of people, my sisters included, who are raised by a difficult person who did not treat them well, who did harm them emotionally. And that on the scale of bad parenting is pretty small compared to what some of your stories may include, right? And we live in a world today where the millennial generation, over 60% of millennial parents are divorced. So when it says honor your father and mother, does that include your stepfather and your stepmother, right? Where does that play in? Because that's incredibly complicated, right? And then how do you figure out how to do this if your parents were abusive, physically, emotionally, mentally, sexually, right? How do you do this, right? I don't think there's a commandment that's harder than this one, right? And when you read commentators, most commentators will tell you that the first four commandments relate to our vertical relationship to God. What did Jesus say in Matthew 22? Somebody asked him, what's the greatest commandment? And he said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's got to go this way first, right? Somebody say amen, right? We got to go this way first. And then he says the second is like it, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. So there's this vertical measurement of our relationship, and then there's this horizontal measurement of our relationship to God. John said something similar when he wrote his epistles and said, if you claim to love God, right? So those of you online, you can type yes. Those of you in here, how many of you love God? Let me hear you say amen. He says, if you love God who you haven't seen and don't love the person that you can see, how can the love of God be in you, right? How can it be in you, right? Because the reality is this. This ultimately is projected here in our relationship to other people. Right? That is a transition that Commandment 5 makes for us. Because Commandment 5 begins the process of taking this vertical, no other gods. Don't be worshiping idols. Do not take my name in vain, right? And honor the Sabbath, because it was God's command, right? God rested on the Sabbath, right? You honor the Sabbath. All of a sudden, this vertical relationship now makes this 90-degree turn into this horizontal commitment we make to people. And the first one is the hardest, in my estimation, because it is very complicated. It was complicated for the Israelites. If you do any research on what Egypt was like and how they treated family, right? Listen, it was incredibly complicated. And I'm not sure if it's gotten any better, but I know in 2024, it is an incredibly complicated command, honor thy father and mother, right? So we're going to talk about it a little bit tonight. So there were. How many of you as parents have gone out on date nights before, right? And have left your kid or kids at home with a babysitter, okay? I won't ask how many of you just left them alone on their own, okay? So this particular husband and wife needed a date, and so they called the babysitter to come and watch their toddler, and they needed a night out. So as they were leaving, their two cats ran out of the house. Husband saw it, said, I got to go get the cats, right? So he goes and gets the cats, right? Meanwhile, the lady is sitting in the Uber, right? The wife is sitting in the Uber waiting, and so he goes and he gets the cats, finally catches them, gets them in the house, right? He's gone for a while, right? When he gets back in the car, before he gets back in the car, the wife's like, you know, she's like, I don't want him to think that nobody's home, right? So she says to the guy, he's just in there checking on the babysitter and our toddler. 5 minutes later, the husband finally gets back to the car and he gets in and she looks at him. She's like, what took so long? And he's like, listen, he goes, they got away from me and they got under the bed and I had to get a stinking hanger and poke them with it to get it out, right? That's what parenting's like, right? It's insane, the stories that you could tell and the stories that I could tell. So I'm gonna ask you to stand. We're gonna read this commandment in both places tonight, right? We're gonna read it because it's a little different in Deuteronomy. There's a little more to it, but I wanna read it in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, two verses, right? Here's what it says, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The first commandment with a promise. Paul even refers to this as the first commandment with a promise, right? Next commandment in Deuteronomy 15, or Deuteronomy 5, he says it this way. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live long and it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You can be seated. So 3 months after leaving Egypt, they get these commandments, right? These directives by God in how to walk, how to live with his presence in their life. And he says, honor your father and mother. So I just wanna pull, I'm just gonna give you three statements about this commandment, right? And I'm just gonna tell you, I don't have a predisposition about this. I had a predisposition about the Sabbath. I had to work through it. This has always been my least favorite commandment to talk about because I think it's the most complicated commandment because I think the tendency is to want to speak into your situation. We want to preach the commandment to your particular story, right? I do not believe that. I believe that you preach the word and then God and you figure out how to make that work in your story, right? So we're going to talk about just what the word says about this commandment, right? I'm not trying to be insensitive to your story because I'm not, because I've got my own story. It may be worse than yours. It may not even be close to as bad as yours, right? But we all believe this, right? When it comes to Jesus, when it comes to what God does with us through Jesus, no matter what we've been through, God can restore us and heal us. Somebody say amen, right? None of us want our stories in the past to be the definition of our present and future. We now know Jesus. We know the one who rescued and saved us. So I can't imagine how many different parent scenarios are in this room or online. No idea, right? And when we try to preach the word into your story or my story, it gets really convoluted. Right? So let's talk about this. Here's the first thing I want to point out about this. This commandment is serious business. Incredibly serious, right? Let me just read some scriptures for you. Deuteronomy 21 says this. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him, bring him to the elders at the gate of this town. This is God telling his people this. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate, that's a big word, and a drunkard. Then all of the men of his town, read it with me, church, shall stone him to death. Why? You must purge evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. You think God takes honor of thy father and mother serious? It's crazy. Listen to this, right? Deuteronomy 27 says this, the Levites shall recite to all the people. This is the cursing from Mount Ebal, right? The curses that are spoken from there in Deuteronomy. The Levites shall recite to all the people of Israel in a loud voice. Cursed is the man who carves an image or cast an idol, a thing detestable to the Lord. We studied that, right? The work of the craftsman's hands, and sets it up in secret. Then all the people shall say it with me, church, amen, right? Cursed, second one they offer, the Levites are to offer to the people. Cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother. Then all the people shall say what? Amen. And then if you get to Ezekiel, right, you listen to God's proclamation of doom and destruction to his people, right? The very people he took out of Egypt, years later, he's turning them over to a foreign nation because they were so disobedient. Listen to part of the reason why they got deported, why they got their nation and their capital city and their temple destroyed. It says in Ezekiel 22, if in you, says they have treated father and mother with contempt. He's talking about Judah, right? In you, right, in Judah, they've oppressed the alien and mistreated the fatherless and the widow. You've despised my holy things and desecrated my Sabbaths. And then he goes on in verse 13 and says this, I will surely strike my hands together at the unjust gain you've made and at the blood you have shed in your midst. Will your courage endure or will your hands be strong in the day that I deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken and I will do it. I will disperse you among the nations and I will scatter you through the countries. Listen to this, and I will put an end to your uncleanness. Listen, here's the thing I want you to know about the commandment. God took this thing very serious, so serious that when it came to Ezekiel's prophecy to tell Judah why they were being deported, why Babylon was to capture their city and their temple, the reason why that took place was partly because they dishonored the fifth commandment. They dishonored father and mother. Fathers and mothers were supposed to turn the rebellious sons to the elders of the town for stoning to death so the rest of Israel would take notice of how evil this was. Do you think God thought this commandment was serious business? Listen, we may have wanted to stone our children at times, right? But I'm not sure many of us in this room or many of us online would have ever, ever drug our profligate and drunken son into the city streets to allow strangers to stone them to death. That's pretty harsh, right? And here's the reason. It was incredibly serious business. When it came to God, it was very serious business, but it was also serious weight, right? Serious weight. Because here's the first word of Exodus 20. And here's the first word of Matthew 5:16. Honor. Everybody say the word honor. In the Hebrew, right, which is what the Old Testament's written in.
For its weight, because here's the first word of Exodus 20, and here's the first word of Matthew 5:16.
Apparently, Siri's got something to say. You know, if I could learn to preach without an alarm, I wouldn't have to deal with that nonsense, right? But the word honor in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word for heavy, weighty. Right? It's used all the time in scripture to define this, but I want you to hear how it's used in a couple other places because I think it's important for us to understand what the word honor means when it comes to this serious weightiness. The Lord said to Moses in Exodus 14, starting in verse 1, he said, the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth. They're leaving Egypt. They're headed toward the Red Sea, and he tells them to turn back around. Right, sort of head back toward the Egyptians, right, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. Listen to what God's going to do. I, God says, I'm going to harden. The root word there is also heavy, right? I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue the Israelites. But listen to what God says. But I will gain what? That's the Hebrew word honor. I will gain weightiness, right? I will gain notice for myself through Pharaoh in all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, so the Israelites did this. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on, right? And then they're going to cross the Jordan, right? So now they're at the river. He says, Moses, raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water, the Red Sea. so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Listen to this. God says, I will harden, I will make Pharaoh's heart heavy, right? The hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And listen to this. When I make their hearts heavy, he says, I will gain what? I will gain heaviness. I will gain weight. I will gain the prestige from that action through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory or weightiness through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. So here's what God did. He tricked Pharaoh, right? He sort of turned the Egyptians back around to the Egyptians who were pursuing in their chariots, saw the Israelites at the base of the Red Sea, and they thought to themselves, well, they're confused. We've got them trapped up. We've got them trapped at the Red Sea. We're gonna get them. He says, you just camp over here and chill, because here's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna put weightiness in Pharaoh's heart, and here's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna get weight out of this. I'm gonna be perceived as pretty impressive by this. And they get to the Red Sea, and everybody's panicking, and God says to Moses, calm down. Just raise up your staff. Raise up your staff. I'm going to part the waters so that you guys can walk across on dry ground. Meanwhile, I'm going to harden. I'm going to put some weightiness in the Egyptians' heart, and they're going to pursue you full force into this dry basin. And here's what's going to happen. I'm going to gain weightiness for myself. When this thing's over, people are going to think of God, and they're going to go, holy cow, he's amazing. You see how the idea of weightiness works, yes or no, right? What he says is this: when these things happen, God gets noticed, right? Listen, I used to referee basketball when I was younger, right? And I was reffing before we moved here. This is about 14 years ago, actually. It's about the year before I moved here. I was reffing and I hurt my knee. And I went off the court, went into the locker room, and within about 20 minutes, my knee had swollen up. I couldn't hardly move it. And I thought, I'm in trouble, right? Because if I can't move, I'm gonna weigh 290 pounds, right? Because the inactivity was going to bring the weightiness down on me. And what happened in that moment, I was like bawling, like I don't know what's gonna happen, how this is gonna work, right? Because when you feel something that's weighty, right, when it hits home, it creates a response in people. And God said this: here's what honor looks like. I am going to do this, and through this activity, you are going to look at me different, because all of a sudden, I'm going to be weighty. I'm going to be noticeable. I'm going to be something you take notice of. People are going to talk about this moment forever, and guess what it's going to do? It's going to give God glory, because it's going to make him known. So what does God say? Honor, everybody say honor. Honor your father and mother. You give them weightiness. You give them significance, which makes the commandment even more complicated. Because now we're talking about not giving it to God. We're talking about giving it to two perfectly imperfect human beings, right? Now you gotta honor something besides God. It's one thing for God to say, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna get honor. Okay, I can get that, right? Right? You can read, you can follow this word all throughout the Old Testament. You can find it in Psalms, you can find it in Proverbs, right? You can find it all over. Psalm 86 says this: among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring what? Glory or weightiness to your name. You know, when we gather in here, whether it's Wednesday, Tuesday, Saturday, or Sunday, and we lift up our voices and sing, you know what we're doing? We're giving God what? Glory. You know what that word means? Weight. We're giving God significance. Strangers walk into the back of the room. People tune in online and they see 500, 700, 800 people lifting up the name of Jesus. You know what it does? It gives weight to that name. Somebody say amen, right? How about Proverbs 3? Proverbs 3 says, read that first word with me. Honor, give weight to the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. We ain't got to talk about tithe, right? You don't want to talk about tithe because you don't think it's New Testament. That's fine. Then here's your giving verse, right? Honor God. Give his name weight by giving him the first fruits of your money. You don't... You don't want to talk about 10%? Great, fine. Then you determine how much of what God has blessed you with is enough to communicate to other people. He's pretty significant, right? How many of you ladies are wearing a wedding ring right now? Right? How many of you'd like to have a bigger one? Right? Listen, there. I know, as we mature, we don't want one, right? But when we first get one, there's something significant about that thing, right? There's some significance to it, right? We don't put bottle caps on fingers. We buy diamond rings, right? Why? Because it's weighty. It's significant. Why do women buy such expensive wedding dresses? Because when they walk down the aisle, they want to be the most significant thing in the room. Can I get an amen, ladies? Right? Why do men want to buy pickup trucks with huge tires? Because it gives them significance, right? Come on, ladies, say amen to that, right? Listen, you get the concept. Here's what God says. Honor your father and mother. Give them weight. Give them significance. That's a pretty powerful word, right? It's a pretty powerful word when you think about how it's used. How about in, listen to Deuteronomy 5, it even gets more complicated. When it's quoted again in Deuteronomy, honor your father and mother as the Lord, as read this with me, church, as the Lord your God has commanded you. So here's the hard part about this thing, right? There are no conditions here, right? He doesn't say honor, give significance to your mom and dad unless they're jerks, unless they get divorced, unless they're abusive, right? Here's the hard part about this. You talk about weightiness, significance, honor. You all understand how that works, right? We do things to give ourselves significance. We do things to make our children more significant. We do things to make our special person, our spouse, our girlfriend, boyfriend, we do things to make them more significant. When we sing praises to God, we're making him significant. When we give him our first fruits, we're making him significant. So he says, make your parents significant, honor them. But then he says in Deuteronomy 5:16, do it as the Lord has commanded you, right? There's no exceptions to this rule. There's no conditions here. And that's what infuriates me about this commandment. He just says, do it. I commanded it. And we already know how serious he takes it because we've seen what parents did with a dishonorable son in Israel. You took him to the elders, they found him guilty, and they stoned him to death. It was part of the reason why the entire nation suffered God's punishment at the hands of the Babylonians because they wouldn't honor father and mother. And he says, honor father and mother as the Lord has commanded it. Listen, the first time this word's used in the Old Testament, Genesis 2, right? Genesis 2 says this in verse 15, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded, same Hebrew word here as Deuteronomy 5, the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Any question about what the word command means? Zero, right? Genesis 3, he uses it again and says this, but the Lord God called the man after he's had this moment where he's revealed to them, he knows what they've done. The Lord God called the man or Adam and he says, where are you? And Adam says, I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Listen, you know from just those two verses what the word command means. Yes or no? You know what it means. Are there any exceptions to Adam eating the tree, not eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? No, zero. Zero. Honor your father and mother as the Lord commanded. Any exceptions? No. This is why it's the hardest commandment in my mind. I don't even think it's contest. Because that commandment doesn't take into the fact that Cord Bear wasn't a very good parent at some times. That Cord Bear was selfish. That Cord Bear was immature. That Cord Bear was angry. That Cord Bear was loud. that cord-bearer exasperated his children. There's no exception given. None. You shall not eat of this tree as I command you. Any questions, Adam? Zero. Did you eat of the tree that I told you not to eat? Any exceptions? Zero. Honor the Lord, or honor your father and mother as the Lord commanded. And how did he command it? No exceptions. Does anybody think that's going to be hard? Yeah, I think it's going to be incredibly complicated, right? And then listen to Ephesians 6, how Paul writes it in Ephesians 6. He says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Everybody say this last line with me. For this is right. I preached. Was it last week? Can I preach that I was here? Yeah, I preached. I did a really good job. I just wanted to say, right? I talked about the word righteous, right? We talked about the word righteous. It comes from the Greek word dikai, right? Dikai, D-I-K-E is the transliteration. What it means is judicial approval, right? It means having a judge say you're approved, right? Listen to 2 Timothy, how it's used. 2 Timothy 4, Paul writes, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. He's discussing the end of his life, and the time has come for my departure. He says, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. He says, now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness from the Greek word D-I-K-E, right? The very word where Paul says, obey your parents, right, in the Lord, for this is right. There is in store for me a crown of rightness, of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge will award to me on that day. If that word is used to describe God, then you know what the word righteous means. Yes or no? We certainly do, right? Is God righteous? He got any sin in him? No. So you know what righteous means now. Here's what Paul says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's right. There's no question about it. There's no exception. There's no conditions, right? You are to obey your parents because it is righteous. It is judicially approved. And I wonder, why in the world did God not make an exception for people who are raised by terrible parents? Because I don't know about you, but I think this is a really, really hard commandment. I think it's a hard thing to teach. And here's what it's gonna do. It's gonna test your faith, right? This is a commandment that tests faith. Those of you online and those of you in here that are parents, right? We have to be honest. The first thing you should always do as an adult is buy a mirror. Not just for looking in it for how you look, but for being in perspective and honest about who you are. Too many times we become Christians and we forget our mirrors, right? And all of a sudden we start judging people through windows, and what we should be looking at is a mirror. Because Jesus said, don't be plucking the speck out of someone's eye until you've removed the what? The plank out of your own, right? We like windows into other people's lives. God says, buy a mirror. Be introspective. And here's the reality, parents. You have children that are being raised by you. You're not perfect. So guess what? They're being asked to give you significance and to give you obedience as the Lord commanded them, and they're to do it without exception. Any parent in here want to admit that you've made it harder for your kid to do that besides me? I've made it really hard. Like, it is a hard command. And you talk about making a transition from, oh, I love God, he's the only true God, I'll have no idols, I'll never wear his name in vain, I'll never make it insignificant, right? I will honor the Sabbath because God did his work on 6 days, and I will honor the Sabbath. But now, honor your father and mother because I commanded it. Where's my parents' name? And why is there not a little footnote going, except for Cord, whose parent is William Bear, who'll be a jerk, and you don't have to honor him. There's no footnote. There's none. So guess what's going to be tested? in your children, parents. Not their loyalty to you. What's going to be tested in your child is their faith. Is their faith. Because faith, according to James, without works is what? It's dead, right? Our faith produces works. And if being obedient isn't a work, I don't know what is, right? So you want to help your child be honorable? Help grow them in the Lord. Help mature them in their faith. Because listen, if you think your children have it easy trying to honor you, you haven't really been honest about who you are. Now listen, I know there are great parents in this room because I know some of you, right? Your parenting was much better than mine probably, and certainly better than the one I had. Mom, you were awesome, thank you, right? The reality is there are great parents in this room, but we're all flawed parents, yes? We've all parented out of emotion and out of anger and out of selfishness, right? And we're not even gonna talk about some of the other stuff we've done that was just as stupid, right? Whether it was the way we parented when we were drinking, the way we parented when we were unfaithful, the way we parented when we were, you fill in the blank. Listen, our children were given some really high hurdles to overcome when it says, honor, give significance to these people and do it because I commanded it and there are no exceptions for you. That's really hard to do, man. It's really hard to do. And all you're going to have to do is help your children learn how to live well in their faith, because it's not going to be easy for your children to just be honorable because you're such amazing people, because I was such an amazing person. So there's some serious weightiness to this idea of honor and obey. But let me get to this part. There's also serious consideration. Serious consideration. Listen to, so if Ephesians 6 says, obey your parents. Ephesians 6:2 says this. Read it with me, church, online in here. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So he goes from obey your parents, right? Because it's right. It's the righteous thing to do. It's the thing that is godlike when you do it. Now he says, honor, right, your father and your mother. And the Greek word translates the Hebrew word weightiness. Right? Same word at its root. It translates that word in the Greek language, right? Listen to how this word is used in the New Testament, right? Because here's the thing about the commandment to honor your father and mother in the New Testament. Listen to these verses. 1 Timothy 5:1-3. We're looking at the word honor, right? Do not rebuke an older man harshly. It's one of the advantages of being an older person. Don't talk to me mean, okay? Don't rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Well, that's a really complicated verse for some of you because your fathers were absent. They passed away before you came onto the scene. They were jerks, abusive, emotionally, sexually, physically, mentally. Rebuke an older man, but exhort him as if you were a father. There are people who read that verse and goes, I have no idea how to do that, right? But listen to what he says. Treat younger men as brothers. Again, very complicated for some people. Older women as mothers and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. Proper recognition. In the Greek, right? In the Greek, that is the word honor, right? Give honor to those widows who are really in need. What he says is, there is another group of people that deserves the same honor as parents, and those people are, everybody say widow. Widows who are truly widows, meaning they are widows who are raising kids as single mothers because the father has died and now they have a need. He says they are worthy of the same honor that father and mother are. Got that? Okay. That's for all of us. All of us should pay that. That's why James says true religion takes care of widows and orphans in need, because honor without action is just a bunch of words, right? Listen to this in 1 Peter 2. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans, right, the non-believers, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and what? Glorify or honor, right? Same Greek word, glorify, honor God on the day that he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. Listen to this, church, online and here. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. Read this with me. To, everybody say it. Every authority instituted among men. Bring that verse back up. He's writing this, Peter is, in a time of persecution for the Christian, right? By the Romans, by the Jews, right? By people who were running their country and holding these people hostage, right? With their rules and their laws, right? He says to these Christians, this is applicable in 2024, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. And look, and he even narrows it down. Next verse, he says this, whether to the king as a supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right, for it is God's what? It is God's what? It is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Against what? Evil against these institutions and every authority. He says, live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Proper respect in the Greek is the word honor. Same word Paul uses to say, honor your father and mother. He says, everybody read this first line with me. Show honor, instead of saying proper respect, say honor. Show honor to who? So here's the thing. We've got a commandment to honor your father and mother in the Old Testament. We've got the same verbiage in Ephesians 6:2. And now in 1 Peter, we're asked to give honor to who? Everyone. Everyone, right? No matter who it is, we're supposed to show proper respect or honor to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor, same word, honor the king, he says. How about this one? Romans 12, 9 and 10, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Read it with me, church, online and here. Honor one another above yourselves. Same word Paul uses to describe honor your father and mother. He says, as Peter says, honor one another above yourselves. So who should you honor? Everyone. Everyone. We're not just living in Exodus 20 anymore, where it's honor father and mother. We're now living in a world where believers, and if you're a believer online in here, let me hear you say amen. The honor that we pay our parents is honor that is due who? Come on, say it. Everyone. And that word is significant. Check this out. Romans 13, you can skip that. I want to close with 1 Corinthians 6 because this is so cool, right? God is so cool, right? So this is how God sort of closed this thing up for me, right? Because listen, God made a commandment in the Old Testament, honor father and mother as the Lord has commanded. God took it serious. Matter of fact, gave parents the ability to take their drunkard and lazy son into the elders of the city, and they were to stone him, the strangers were, and to communicate a message to the Israelites. Listen, we're not putting up with that nonsense. That's pretty serious. So much so that God deported Israel from Jerusalem for partly disobeying this commandment. God took it serious. It's an incredibly weighty word. Honor, to give significance to it. Man, it's a big word. Obey, pretty serious word, right? And here's the thing that you and I have to take some serious consideration of. The Bible says honor father and mother. But it also says honor widows, honor everyone, honor everyone above yourself. So when it comes to a New Testament believer, we are to honor who? Everyone. everyone. Listen to 1 Corinthians 6. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Listen to this. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? He says, you, right, are not your own. You are not your own. Why? He says, you were bought at a what? Everybody say the word price. If you go back to Ephesians 6:1, first word in that passage is obey your parents. Obey your father and mother. The Greek word here comes from the Greek word tino or timo. And what it means is to pay a price. Actually, it meant to pay a debt. It's used in Revelation about the price that unbelievers will pay, right? Its idea is you look at something, here's my phone, I'm gonna give it value, and out of that value, I'm gonna pay that price. He says, here's why you and I should live our lives a certain way, honoring everyone above ourselves. You, everybody say, I, were bought with a price. God honored you by giving weightiness to you. And here's what he said to all of you. Here's how much I value you. God is gonna buy you at this cost. And what was the cost, church? Yeah, everybody say his son. God went, look at you, look at everybody online. Here's what he said. I'm gonna give you a value. And here's the value of your life to me. I'm gonna let my son pay the price for you. And he says, therefore, because God honored you, do you get what God did when he set a price for you? He gave significance to you. He said, you matter. He said, you're important. No matter how terrible your parent was or how absent they were, he says, here's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna give you honor. I am going to give you a value. Therefore, here's what you do. Therefore, honor God with your body or life. You see, at the end of the day, does the commandment to honor father and mother stand for us? Yes or no? 100%. It's right there in the New Testament. But here's the thing, Christian. It's not just mom and dad anymore. It's the widow. It's the king. It's the governor. It's every authority. As a matter of fact, it's who? It's everyone. And here's why God feels comfortable asking. Because he honored you. He gave significance to you. And he said, I'm gonna name the price. So here's what I need you to do in return. I need you to pay me back for that. I need you to honor me. Give significance to me for the one who valued you. Listen, you know how this works. People loved you, said they loved you, married you, gave you value and significance. Every good marriage, the person that feels that wants to reciprocate it. Every child that feels loved wants to reciprocate it, right? We should honor our father and mother, but church, we should honor everyone. Somebody say amen. Father, today, make us people who are honorable. You gave weight to us. Broken children, abused children, neglected children who've grown into adults. You gave value to us. And you've asked us to reciprocate that value in the same manner. I pray for every parent watching right now and every person in this room who's a parent, that they would give the same value to their children that you, God, gave them when you sent your son for them. I pray that parents will make it possible for their children to honor them as is commanded by the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church.